Amen. Okay, let's say if you could only choose to have either one US dollar or 1,000 rupiah, which would you pick? Which one? What? Okay, obviously, I'm quite sure that you guys would choose the one with a higher value, which is the one US dollar. Am I right? Yeah, and actually not only in this situation, but in every situation. Okay, we all want to gain and not make a loss. This is probably even more so for kiasu Singaporeans like us, who do not want to lose out in life. And it's so easy for us sometimes to think that, you know, missions and giving to God, it's so easy for us, yeah, to think about missions and giving to God as losing out. Okay, but the truth is, we can never outgive the generous God, which is also the title of my sermon today. Okay, now let's take a look at the Bible passage that shows us how God is always more generous than we think. Okay, let's turn to Luke chapter 18, verses 18 to 30. Okay, let's read. Okay, shall we all read together? Okay, and the ruler asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good?" Let's all read together, okay? "No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother." And he said, "All these I have kept from my youth." When Jesus heard this, he said to him, "One thing you still lack. Sell all that you have and distribute to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me." But when he heard these things, he became very sad, for he was extremely rich. Jesus, seeing that he had become sad, said, "How difficult it is for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God. For it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God." Those who heard it said, "Then who can be saved?" But he said, "What is impossible with man is possible with God." And Peter said, "See, we have left our homes and followed you." And he said to them, "Truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or wife or brothers or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God who will not receive many times more in this time and in the age to come eternal life." Okay. Unlike the rich ruler who was unwilling to part with his wealth, Peter actually left his home to follow Jesus. So looks like Peter was more willing than the rich ruler to give his all to God, wasn't it? But don't you think it's a little strange that in verse 28, Peter actually told Jesus, "See, we have left our homes and followed you." Wasn't this something that Jesus already knew about? So why did Peter have to make such a statement? Could it be that Peter was comparing himself with the rich ruler and thinking to himself, "See, I'm giving so much to God, unlike this guy"? I was a missionary for 6 years in East Asia before I returned to Singapore 3 years ago. And when I came back, one question that I got a lot from people was, "When are you going out to the field again?" And to be honest, there were times where I actually felt a bit offended at this question. In my heart, I was like, "Hello, I've already given 6 years of my life to the missions field. Now it's your turn to go." But I later had to repent because I knew that my attitude was wrong. Even though I've given 6 years to the field, I should be saying, "God, if you ever want to send me out again, please help me to be willing to go." Instead of thinking, "God, I've already given so much, you know, can you please send others and leave me alone?" I'm very excited that many of you are using your talents and skills to contribute to the various ministries in church. And I'd like to encourage those of you who are not already serving in church to do so. But say even if we are already actively serving in church, should we then think of ourselves as already giving a lot to God? And if we're already busy serving in Singapore, then why is there still a need for us to serve overseas? Are they not the same? What do you think? Well, the irony is that on one hand, we could be thinking that we're already giving a lot to God and so be very proud of ourselves. But on the other hand, we could actually be afraid to give to Him. Why do you think the rich ruler find it so hard to give to Jesus? Well, I'm not sure, but being a wealthy man, he probably led quite a comfortable life. Maybe his wealth even brought him much power and prestige. So to give up his wealth might mean that he had to give up his comfort, power, and prestige as well. And that's a lot to give, isn't it? So in the end, like we all know, the rich ruler chose to keep his wealth rather than to give it away. And the reason I believe is that he was convinced that he would lose out if he were to give to Jesus. He didn't believe that Jesus would have something better to offer him. I must confess that while I felt that I've given a lot to God, but at the same time, I was also worried that God might ask me to give more. What if He were to ask me to go somewhere again? Does this mean that I would have to leave my family and my job again? I do want to give to God, but giving can be painful. To give means you have to part with something or someone in the process. It means that you have to lose something. Well, going to the mission field is not easy. And maybe this is why so many of us spend so much time praying and confirming and double confirming if this is something God wants us to do. Okay, let's be honest. Do we really spend that much time praying about whether we should go for an overseas university exchange program or whether we should take on a particular job internship? Do you do that? My guess is probably not, right? Then why is it that we don't really need a confirmation from God, you know, about such things? But when it comes to missions, somehow we need a double or even triple confirmation from God. Well, my guess is that deep down, we believe that all these other things are what will help us gain what we want in life. Things like success, money, a good career. And that's why we prioritize these things over missions. Because guess what? When it comes to missions, we believe that things are just the opposite. We have to leave our homes, our jobs, and even to put on hold all these dreams that we want to pursue. It's like, man, we don't get to gain anything at all. And in fact, we have so much to lose. And some people even believe that the mission field is made for losers. People who are not able to make it in the real world. These guys, they should become missionaries because they have nothing to lose anyways. No wonder no one wants to be a missionary. Who wants to be a loser? But guys, I have great news. Giving to missions does not make you a loser. Tell your neighbor. Giving to missions does not make you a loser. Yes, you may lose certain things along the way, but God will reward you. Remember, we can never outgive the generous God. Okay, whether it was to the rich ruler or to Peter, Jesus told them both that they will have rewards if they followed Him. In fact, what Jesus gave them was more than just a promise. It was an absolute guarantee. This means even if they didn't believe that there was going to be a reward if they follow Jesus, they will still receive the reward. It's like we can choose to not believe that the earth is round, but that's not going to change the shape of the earth, right? Yeah, so what Jesus gave them was a 100% guarantee that there will be a treasure, a reward. Okay, I'm not suggesting that we should do a business transaction with God. Yeah, and I'm also not telling you that God is going to give you whatever you want. Okay, but what I'm saying is that there will be rewards. Tell your neighbor again, there will be rewards. Yeah, and God desires to reward us, not because He owes us anything, but because He's a generous God. We may not always reap the rewards right away, but one thing is for sure, He will reward us, because we can never outgive the generous God. Okay, going to the mission field was a difficult decision for me. Okay, I had to give up my job. But what was more challenging for me was to leave my family. I just couldn't bear the thought of my parents being sad because they were going to miss me. And I was also worried about my future, about money and stuff like that. Okay, I wanted to go, but I was afraid to step out. But eventually, I came to a point where I decided to just go. So in August 2008, I set off for East Asia. Our ministry in East Asia was to reach out to the college students. I enjoyed the work a lot, but I also struggled in other areas of my life, especially in the area of relationships. Some of the guy missionaries that I worked with were such good-looking and godly men that I became madly in love and so badly wanting to get married. So I hoped and I prayed really hard that God would give one of them to me as my husband. But till today, I'm still single. So, does this mean that God has somehow forgotten to reward me? What do you think? No, you're right. No. Yeah. Okay, God might not have given me what I wanted, but nevertheless, okay, I've gained so much from my 6 years of missions work in East Asia, which I'll never trade off for anything else. Being on the field has allowed me to trust God to take care of my parents, which He did. But not only that, my parents also had the opportunity to learn to trust God to take care of me. So imagine if I didn't go. I would have deprived my parents of the opportunity, you know, for them to learn how to trust God to look after me. And when I was in East Asia, I felt that my spiritual life was taking an express train, you know, not MRT train, always break down, but an express train, okay? Yeah, so I felt like my spiritual life was taking an express train because I grew so much. So leaving the familiar and walking into the unknown sometimes left me with so-called no choice but to learn how to rely on God totally. There were many times where I felt lonely and heartbroken because I really wanted to get married, but it was not happening. But during those times, you know, where I had no one to turn to, I turned to God. And it was during such times that I realized that I began to grow deeper in love and intimacy with Jesus. This journey, okay, has somehow brought me to a place of wholeness. Okay, being fully satisfied in Jesus despite my singleness. So if you want to grow even closer to God, go to the field. Go to the field. And you not only grow spiritually, but also in other aspects of your life as well. You learn to be an adult. I'm sure you're like that, right? Yeah, your parents are not going to be there. So like it or not, you've got to learn to be independent. And before I went to the field, I was pretty bad at handling finances. Even though I had a job, but oftentimes I still had to borrow money from my mom. Yeah. So I was pretty worried that becoming a missionary would make it worse, because I believed that maybe becoming a missionary was going to make me poorer. So I'll be like really, really, really poor. And maybe I have to borrow more money from my mom. Yeah, but the funny thing was, this fear that I had actually somehow helped me learn to be more careful with money. And for the first time in my life, I was able to save money. And suddenly, becoming a missionary has somehow made me richer than I was before. Yeah, but not only did I get better at handling money, but I also witnessed how God provided for me, you know, over the years when I was on the field. He has never failed to meet all my financial needs. He indeed is a generous God. I also grew a lot in my ministry skills, because when you're on the field, you may be required to do all kinds of things. You will also acquire essential life skills that you can basically use for life. Very helpful indeed. Okay, you will get to experience different cultures, meet new people, try new things. Basically, the missionary life is not what an average person gets to experience. How cool is that? Do you want to be cool? So if you want to be cool, you need to be a missionary, because just imagine, it's not the life where an average person gets to experience. Trust me, really. How many are missionary here? No one, right, except me. See, I'm the cool one. Yeah, so if you guys want to be cool like me, go to the field. So guys, missions isn't just about suffering. Okay, the journey may be filled with challenges and difficulties, but it's also one where we get to enjoy and have fun as well. But not only have I personally gained a lot from my 6 years on the field, but I also had the privilege to be used by God to impact lives beyond Singapore. Do you know that it's such an honor to know that in another part of the world, lives are changed because I went and brought the gospel to them? God's generosity is best revealed in Jesus Christ. Because God is a generous God, He was willing to give His one and only Son. Because God is a generous God, He made salvation free for us, so that we only need to believe in Jesus to have eternal life. And because God is a generous God, He didn't send Jesus just to die for you and me. He came too for the lost souls in East Timor, in Japan, Thailand, Taiwan, Nepal, basically the whole world. But guys, how will the nations of the world know that God is so generous towards them unless someone goes and tell them that? How will they know? Are you willing to be that person? Would you be willing to put your life on hold at some point to go to the mission field? Would you consider putting aside your dreams and plans for a season so you could go to the nations and bring them the good news? If you like to say yes, but don't feel like you have what it takes to make the necessary sacrifices, I want you to know that you don't have to rely on your own strength. Because just like what Jesus said in verse 27, that what is impossible with man is possible with God. So we can know that God is the one who will give us the strength that we need to help us step out in faith. All you need is a willing heart. So today, I want to challenge you to be generous with the generous God. Don't settle for just a one-week mission trip. Okay, yes, you may sign up for those trips that Gideon talked about, but don't stop there. Okay, consider going longer, for 1 to 3 months or even a year. Jesus made such an impact because he spent time with the people. And through that, he could identify with their joys and pains. He could disciple them and also model the Christian life for them. I could make an impact on Jane's life because I too invested time in her. So while a one-week mission trip is a great start, do not stop there. If you sow generously, you will also reap generously. So, if you're willing to say yes to going to the mission field at some point of your life, I'd like you to respond now by raising your hand so that I can pray for you. Okay, by raising your hand, it doesn't mean that you'll be leaving for the field tomorrow, so don't worry. Okay, but if you're willing to go, then we can trust that God in His perfect timing will surely bring that to pass. Okay, so can I invite all of us now to just close our eyes? Yeah, let's do that. Okay, let's close our eyes right now. Okay, maybe we can even have a few seconds of silence so that God can speak to each one of us. And with our eyes closed, for those of you who like to respond, for those of you who like to say yes to God and to the mission field, can I invite you to just raise your hand now? Thank you, Lord. Okay, I'll just pray for you guys. God, I thank you for those who have raised their hand. May you honor their heart's desire to be a blessing to the nations. May you give them the assurance that as they give, they will receive even more from you. We thank you that we can never outgive you because you are the generous God. May the nations of the world come to know you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
Shall we all stand and give her a round of applause as well? Yeah. You know, something that when I grew up in church, I grew up learning to honor the missionaries in our church because, you know, it was often taught in my time that one of the things that Jesus was that he was a missionary. You know, that he came from heaven down to earth and he came to die on the cross for our sins, you know, and in the same way missionaries today go out and they die to self, you know, and they give up something about something they value for the cause of God, for their love for God. You know, I think we're gonna have a time of worship. Not worship, like ministry song. But even as we do that, let's thank God for being that missionary that came for us. And you know, for those of us that raised our hands, you know, let's remember the promise that we gave. A long while back, I stood at a camp where someone asked whether I would give a year of my life to Jesus. And I went for 6 months away, and I think, like what Esther said, it's a joyful thing. But at times, in the midst of it, it wasn't that easy. You know, but I remember a very special memory that I have that I will always treasure. In Indonesia, at this very strange circumstance, I had the fortune of telling someone that sold ice cream the gospel. And somehow that clicked everything in my faith for me. That I was actually born to tell the gospel, to preach to the world. And many times today, I think we are in our church setting, and it's a bit hard to see that for ourselves. But you know that day when the Indonesian man in Bahasa said, "Yes, I want to know this Jesus." I asked him 3 times, "Are you sure? Really?" Like, and when he said yes, that joy that was in me, unbelievable. Yeah. Because I welcomed an older brother of the faith into the house of God. There was a chance given for me to stand up and say that I want to give of my life in my youth. The specific clause was that I will give it up in my youth. And today, the thing that I feel that God wants to open His heart up is really His heart for the nations. And there's a really specific group of you, I think, that God wants to not just get a response in a show of hands kind of way, but we are going to all open the altar call for you, those of you who actually want to commit, you know, more than, yeah, you know, like what Esther was saying, 1 to 3 months. But, you know, I feel that that's not the number. I feel that the number is actually like 6 months. That you're actually wanting to commit 6 months to God in any part of your life. For me, I answered the call 4 years later, I think, when I was 25 years old. I made that call, I answered that call when I was 21. So we're going to have the altar open, and leaders can come to the front to also minister. Yeah. But I also want to say a general prayer, and yeah, for those of you who feel called, just come up, yeah, to the front now, even now, just, yeah. But I also want to pray for everyone in amongst us today, that we will have a heart to know God, to make Him known. Father, I just want to lift everyone in this auditorium, including myself, to Your hands, God, that in our hearts, Lord, so many things hold us back. And oftentimes we step into that young rich man, that ruler that said, "I don't know how to give this all up." But God, the encouragement we have is that when we look to You, we see eyes of love looking at us. And God, that the adventure lies when we start to let go of all the things that ironically we think we have, but actually hold us instead. God, I pray, will you give us a heart for You tonight, Lord, to know You. And as we come to know You, God, that heart will extend to want to make You known to nations. God, that whoever comes to the front later, Lord, as they answer this call, Lord, it is not by any means an easy thing to answer. Yeah, Lord, we acknowledge that. But God, we honor that You are the God that gave everything up to come to earth first as the missionary to save us. So commit everyone into Your hands. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for tuning in. We trust you have been blessed. For more information, check us out at www.cruz.org.sg. God bless.